Back with you here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Got full phone line, so we're going to jump right to your calls in just a second. I just want to remind you to join the morning shift every Friday for the tailgate at home. It's presented by Publix. Bo Morgan will fire up the grill and share his favorite game day recipes. And you can share your best work on the grill by tweeting at the morning shift. That's the tailgate at home. It's presented by Publix. Feed your fandom. Feel the hype this year with Publix every Friday morning on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. What are we talking about tonight? Well, I'm glad you asked. For the first time this season, I am at a fork in the road. And I need y'all to help me by telling me what your opinion is on the following. Do you think there's a chance that we overhype this roster at the beginning of the year? I was so against that concept until the last couple of games. You lose to the Jets. You get blown out again by the Seahawks. 3 games out of 13 this year, you've been blown out by at least 24 points, including 30-0, 34-10, and 37-9. How can you say you have a good roster when those are the results of some of your games? You can't win a one-score game to save your life. I think coaching is still the main issue. I'm not trying to debate that. But I think it's time to take a hard look at what Terry Fontenot's built here and say, is it good enough? I think we all thought at the beginning of the year at Flowery Branch and training camp, all the hype, that it was. Are we overhyping Michael Penix Jr.? We're not overhyping Drake and Bijan. They're absolute studs. Are we overhyping Jake Matthews at this point? Lindstrom? This is what I need your help figuring out. Or do you just feel like, nah, Turtle, bring in the right coaches and this will all be good? I don't know anymore. I was so convinced that this was not a roster issue. Now, I don't know. I really don't. Need you to help me figure it out at 404-726-0929. Ken leads us off. Ken.
What's going on, Turtle? How you doing?
What's up, man?
Hey, so really quickly, this roster is not overrated. That's another reason why the Falcons are looked at as a joke, because even nationally, everyone thought that this team was going to make some noise. And two things can be true. You can have a great roster, but as you just said, not have good coaching. And also, this is why I feel like Terry needs to go. Fontenot and more Marquise Williams. We literally lost 3 games just off of special teams. The missed kick by Koo against Tampa, the Jets game where we gave up 13 points, and then just this last game. That's 3 wins. Not just that. We have a rookie quarterback, and he showed during the Patriots game, during the Colts game, that he was a rookie. A more mature Penix, that's probably 2 more games that we would have under our belt. You look at that, that puts you instead of at 4-8, at 9-4. So I personally feel like the roster is not the starters is not the issue. The issue is the depth, which lands right on Terry Fontenot, which lands on his bad first draft picks because we have no depth. And also it lands on special teams and even how horrible Zach Robinson has been. He still has had us in game. So, again, is this roster bad? Not at all. It needs to be fine-tuned. We need better depth because we're seeing that with wide receivers, cornerback. We're light in the you-know-what as in the defensive tackle area. So, yeah, there needs to be tweaks. But when it actually comes to this team, no, I will not jump off the edge and ledge and say that we have a bad roster. It would be stupid for you to blow this roster up. It makes no sense for the pundits to even say that. I think they're just getting clickbait. But if you get the right coaching in here with the right tuning, I feel like this team can do what they were expected to do. And last thing, Michael Penix was a rookie. It takes sometimes 3-4 years before an actual quarterback knows what to do. Look at Baker. Look at Sam. I mean, before Michael Penix got hurt, his QBR was like – he was like – two rankings behind Caleb Williams in QBR. So, again, Turtle, don't jump off the ledge, my dog. Everything's going to be okay. This is a rough year, but even Kyle Shanahan in his second year with San Francisco went 4-12, you guys. So relax, chill out, still, I know it sucks. I'm a diehard Falcons fan, but it's going to get better. Peace.
Appreciate it, Ken. Really strong call to start us off. Great call. 404-726-0929. I think the talent's here. I do. Is it enough talent? I think that's up for debate, Ken. And certainly the coaching. You're 100% right. Did we overrate it slightly? That's what I'm struggling with, y'all. I don't know. Ken says no. Ken says, slow your roll, Turtle. We're good. We just need the right coaching in here. What do you guys think? 404-726-0929. Let's check in with Lee. What does Lee have to say?
Yes, long-time listener, first-time caller. I think one of the biggest issues, I agree with the previous guy speaking, is the talent is there, but where is the strength and conditioning coach or coaches? I'm from Buford, and we've had a string of wins and state championships here. If you remember the Georgia game with Mississippi State, Kirby Smart said that, you know, in 75-degree weather, the strength and conditioning coaches won that game. And, you know, it seems like that they're just not in shape.
Well, Lee, I appreciate the call. I mean, certain players for sure. I know Mike Johnson has pointed out that perhaps one of the side effects of Darnell Mooney's injury is that he's lost some weight and he's playing, you know, he's already small to begin with and he might be playing even smaller right now. I think, Lee, it's more about the defense being gassed because they're on the field so damn much. Look at the time of possession for the Falcons in the second half of the year. It was good to start the year, and now it's flipped completely on its head, specifically the defense. And I think that's cost them. I mean, there's no excuses, but it's definitely played a part, Lee, in costing them a couple of games, like the back-to-back overtime games against the Patriots and the Colts. You can't allow those teams to just march down the field and put up the game-winning score, but the defense is gassed because they have to play so much that by the time you get to overtime, they're done. So, Lee, I think it's more about that than it is about the overall conditioning of the team. It's more about what you think about the individual roster than about the conditioning staff right now. Scott's up next. Scott, go ahead.
Hey, how you doing?
What's up, Scotty?
Hey, so I disagree with the previous two callers. Going into the season and listening to the station, there were a lot on this station that were singing Michael Penix's praises and talking about we go far in the playoffs and all that stuff. So the expectations from the station alone were extremely high. I was more cautiously optimistic, but I do think with a better coaching staff, we could squeeze a little bit more out of this roster, but I do think this roster is extremely overrated, and I'll tell you why. I was listening to Mike Johnson on the station as well, and he's got some great analysis. He had talked about we've got our best players, you know, are not making critical plays in key moments, and that made me stop and think for a second because this team is all flash, but it's no substance. And what I mean by that is we have a lot of great individual performances that will flash at certain points, but you've said it yourself. We're not consistent. We're not consistent across the board. So from a roster standpoint, you could point to, say, Drake or Bijan having a great day, but from the rest of the team, we're not getting similar results. The wide receiver room outside of Drake London is pathetic, and there's no one on the wide receiver room that would start for any other team, and I question whether they'd even make the practice squad. We're that bad at wide receiver. So the roster there is terrible. And on the defensive side of the ball, Devon Diablo, he's been a bright spot, I'm not going to lie. That's a great pickup right there. But we don't have anybody, maybe an A.J. Terrell. Our young defensive ends, Jalen Walker and James Pierce, are doing great. But we don't necessarily have that player that other teams do where it's like the opposing offense needs to know where he is at all times. We don't have anyone that puts fear into the opposing offense. So I think from a standpoint of, you know, teams can attack us in all kinds of ways. And we saw in Seattle, and we've seen in other games, A.J. Terrell, you know, maybe he's our best defensive player. Teams are not afraid to throw to him. I mean, Jackson Smith and Jigba he made A.J. Terrell look silly at times this past weekend. So I mean, what I'm trying to say is opposing offenses will go after us in many different ways. We don't have that special defensive player or players that put fear into the opposing offenses. I think we can get better across the board. We can get a better defensive tackle player, someone, you know, that's more elite. We can get elite. We're good at a lot of spots, but we're not great. We're flashing, or we're just inconsistent. And to go back to what I said originally and the last point is, with a better coaching staff, I think they could squeeze a few more wins out, but I don't think it would get us to where we want to be, which is a deep run in the playoffs. I think we need to upgrade both. So it needs to be both, a better coaching staff, but also we've got to get better at certain spots, and we've got to fix that culture problem of being consistent more so than inconsistent. So thank you for taking my call.
Yes, Scott, appreciate it as always. I agree with 90% of what you just said. You made a lot of good points, but I think the one we just need to be fair, right? I have no problem criticizing where criticism is due. AJ Terrell's been phenomenal this year, Scott. He just gave up his first touchdown of the season last week to JSN. So we got to just, I'm all about proper criticism where it's due. AJ Terrell is not the problem. The other side of the field on corner, nickel spot without Billy Bowman. I will raise you a glass there, my friend, but AJ's been really good this year, so we just got to give him his props there. Ryan is up next. Ryan, what are you thinking?
Hey, Turtle, what's happening, man?
What's up?
Long-time listener, first-time caller, native Atlantan. I was born here in 1967, had a Steve Bartkowski jersey in the mid-70s, so been a Falcon fan my whole life, and I just don't understand why you're waffling, Turtle. You're making all the arguments that it's coaching. We have got, and it's not only coaching, Turtle. I'll tell you also, we've got to revamp the entire organization. I mean, Arthur Blank really needs to take a hard look at Rich McKay, because he is the one constant here for the last 20 years.
Wait, Ryan, hang on. I'll let you finish. But you're telling me I'm waffling, but then you just said in the same breath that they need to clean house of the entire organization. So me saying that, after the entire season of believing that it's not the roster, that the fact that I'm now questioning the roster, you can't understand where I'm coming from?
No. I'll tell you that, look, when the year started, you saw how many nationally televised games we had. Well, the NFL doesn't do that if they think you're a terrible team. All right, they're not going to put they looked at our roster and evaluated it the same way the fans in Atlanta did. I've got friends all over the country. My company is headquartered in Rochester, so I know a lot of Buffalo Bills fans. When you look at our roster on paper, now we don't have a top 4 or 5 roster, but we've got a top 16 roster, which is the top half of the NFL roster. You cannot tell me that we are a 4-9 team. That is atrocious. What needs to happen is they need to fire Rich McKay. Terry Fontenot has been here for 5 years. We haven't made the playoffs. Well, this is a meritocracy, okay? If you're not making the playoffs for 5 years, you lose your job in the NFL. It's crazy. And to your point, it is nearly impossible to lose 3 games by 3-plus touchdowns a year in the NFL. There's too much level playing field there amongst the rosters. This is 100% on coaching. This is, you can see it in the calls. You can see it in the clock management during the games. I see it all the time. My buddies and I are watching the game, and we're sitting there going, what the hell is Rob doing? I mean, some of the decisions that he makes are just foolish. The leadership isn't there. Everything starts and stops with leadership, whether it be in business or in sports, whatever that is. You can get a lot more out of these players. There is absolutely enough on this roster for us to be a playoff team, at least make the playoffs. That was not an unrealistic expectation coming into this year. Raheem Morris is a coordinator level position, and that's not enough. Listen, it takes a certain breed to be a head coach. It takes a certain breed to be a CEO. You know, I'm a vice president at my company. I don't have the skill set to be a CEO. But so it takes a special breed, and those people are not in Flowery Branch right now. All right, Thomas Dimitroff didn't do his job, and he gave way to Terry Fontenot. Fontenot has been here for 5 years, and the roster additions that he's made, I would say, have been good as far as free agency goes, But free agency, you've already seen what a player can do for 4 or 5 years in the league before you sign him. You should never bust on a free agent. Yeah, now, I understand busting on some draft picks, but Terry Fontenot needs to go as well.
This is Ryan, crazy. Ryan, no, I get you, man, and I love the passion. I appreciate everything you're saying. Nobody, Ryan, nobody's disagreeing with you. But all I'm saying is when it gets this bad, this is my whole point, and this is the whole point of the exercise we're doing tonight. Again, love the passion. Thank you for the call. I can't sit here and say anymore that through 13 games, you mentioned it, 3 blowout losses with theoretically the talent on this team is unacceptable and almost unimaginable. So because of that, do we now have to look at the talent? Like, when it gets this bad, you have to put everything under the microscope. That's why I'm asking the question, did we overhype some of the talent here in Atlanta? Because when it gets this bad, you need to put it under the microscope. Allison, go ahead. Allison, you're up next.
Hey, Turtle, how you doing this evening?
What's up, Allison?
Nothing much. Your first caller kind of hit the nail on the head when he talked about our lack of depth. It is sad that once Drake went down, now we're kind of going, okay, hey, anybody with a Falcons jersey, show up and get on the field and let's see if we can try you out at wide receiver. Because Mooney, and then the fact that we didn't know Mooney broke his collarbone until week 11, you know, there's a lot of crazy drama going on, too, with the Falcons. But here's the other thing, too. We let Drew Dahlman leave center. The guy was, you know, I mean, you know, he was one of the people that they said, hey, Atlanta should have probably kept him. We let Nate Landman walk. Great tackler, great defensive guy. We let him leave. Troy Anderson is never playing for this team again. And why we wasted a second-round draft choice on him, I'll never understand. I just think that there's an issue with talent evaluation, looking at keeping our free agents that we need to keep, especially when they're on the offensive line. Our offensive line is mid at best. And so, you know, this is why Bijan struggles in some games, because blocking schemes, you know, we can't move guys backwards. It just looks awful, and we look bad, and you asking the question, did we overhype? Well, this is Atlanta. Of course we overhyped it. That's what we do down here. And then once the reality hits us in the face, then it's like, now what do we do?
Yeah, Allison, it's a great call. Appreciate you checking in. You know what we do now? Regime change. Sorry. Needs to happen. I mean, it's just, I know there's been some chatter starting to float around now about could Raheem Morris be back next year? Guys, I don't even, maybe we'll talk about this a little bit tomorrow, but to even think about that at this point, like, I may take off that day, Orin. Honestly, I don't even know if I could. Or you know what? I wouldn't even have to take off. I could literally come on the air, say, hey, it's Turtle 404-726-0929, and literally just let y'all go. Because I know that's how you would be feeling. And I'd be feeling that way too. He's 23 games under 500 as a head coach. He has not earned in a meritocracy to come back next year. 404-726-0929. If you're on hold, stay there. You're up first when we get back. Joe Patrick checks in as well. And back to your calls. Keeping the Falcons conversation going here on Chris Thomas Tonight. Over. It's your first chance to call in and react after every Falcons game. It's brought to you by Ticketmaster, the official ticket marketplace of the Atlanta Falcons. That's the Falcons flyover immediately following every Falcons game this season on Sports Radio 92.9. The game. We'll get back to your calls in just a second. If you're on hold, stay there. You will be first up. Right now, we got to head out to the WadeFord.com hotline. Welcome in our Falcons insider, Joe Patrick. Make sure you check out Joe Patrick on football for all the latest on the Dirty Birds. Joe, the second half of that game, I mean, just the biggest gut punch of all gut punches. What did you see in that sort of 5-6 minute span of game time that caused this thing to go from a 6-6 tie to a game that was out of reach?
Yeah, you know, I know it's kind of the notion that they quit is kind of, you know, the thing that gets floated around. I never want to kind of say that players are quitting, and I don't think that that's actually what happened, but I do think that they were deflated, you know, and I think it stems really from, and this is kind of corroborated by what Raheem Morris had to say afterwards. I talked to Jesse Bates in the locker room, and he can confirm this as well, which is that kick return that started that second half really kind of took the wind out of the sails. And, you know, for as much as you wish that that wouldn't happen, and you obviously want a resilient football team that bounces back and does all that stuff, I just think that there's an understanding within this team that, what, you know, and it's not like something that they go out and say, but just like within everybody, they kind of all understand that they're just not that talented, especially on the offensive side of the football right now with what they have in the wide receiver room. And they just don't have the ability to play on those kinds of margins when they're giving up points in special teams like they have, not just this week, but obviously the week before and earlier this season. I think that it's really just we're starting to see it affect the team more and more. And you're right, it wasn't just that. You know, then the offense goes down and Bijan Robinson fumbles an unfortunate fumble when he's had such a great year and had a great game in that game that's kind of gotten overlooked, obviously, because of the failings of the team overall. And just feels like that's the way the Falcons season is going right now. You know, it's just, it's kind of, it's unraveling, you know, in a way that no organization wants to see their football team at this time of the year.
How do you even begin to explain the state of the wide receiver room?
Oh man, it's rough. And obviously, we see now, and not that it was evident before, but just how much Drake London and his greatness kind of really has covered up a lot of the issues that are in that wide receiver room this year. And, you know, I didn't think it was a bad receiver room coming into the season, but clearly the the broken collarbone that Darnell Mooney suffered on the first day of training camp definitely seems like it had an effect on his ability to mesh with Michael Penix and to be able to put in the kind of productive season that he had last year. Then I think what really seems to have, you know, sparked, you know, a real change in this wide receiver room from what it was last year was the firing of Mike Hilliard that happened after week three. And obviously that's a coach that was leading that room. And, you know, in the fallout of that, you have an issue with Ray McCloud that ends up seeing him being released from the football team. And, you know, he was an important receiver for this team last year. He had over 600 yards receiving. And when you go back and look at his highlight reel, basically from last year, you see how much Kirk Cousins was utilizing him and how many times he had, you know, pretty big, significant moments in games where he was picking up chunk yardage, maybe not necessarily catching the ball down the field, but certainly catching the ball in underneath areas and being able to move. That was, you know, what the team had planned for him. You know, I remember when Raheem Morris was talking about putting this wide receiver room together 2 years ago, he was talking about, you know, we want our deep guy, and that's Darnell Mooney. We want our intermediate guy, that's Drake London. Then we want our underneath guy in the flats, and that's Ray McCloud. He certainly had a role, and it just doesn't feel like you have those players with that clear vision and that clear understanding with, you know, their strengths and skill sets and what they're being asked to do by Zach Robinson in this offense right now. And I think that that's why this offense just feels, you know, so discombobulated and so just kind of impotent at this point in time.
Joe, my words, not yours, but again, this week when asked about no special teams changes coming this week, Raheem Morris's message to me, and you can interpret it however you want to interpret here when I ask you, it seemed like he answered with, why bother?
Yeah. Can you repeat that again real quick? Because I'm in the car and you broke up on me there.
Yeah, no problem. It just seems like Raheem Morris's messaging this week when pressed again about making a change at special teams alluded to saying, why bother at this point?
Right. And I asked him that question, and, you know, like, I feel like it's a necessary question that needs to be asked because of the precedent that was set with Ike Hilliard and him being fired for, quote-unquote, performance reasons. And since then, when I inquired about it last week, he was able to give us a little bit, you know, more background into that performance kind of being related to communication and everything. But, yeah, the answer that he gave – in response to me this week was, yeah, Chris, it was like, we're not making a change. It's basically too late in the season. Like, that's kind of the way I took it, was the staff is what it is at this point. We have four games left, and, you know, we're going to ride it out. And, you know, I suppose there's merit to that, because it's like, there is only four games left. How much is a new coach or a different coach actually going to change things? We might be better off, you know, just kind of not doing that, I guess. But, you know, something I've kind of put out there, and I did ask Raheem about this. I do want to kind of convey this to the audience, is that, you know, to me, when your special teams is going this awry, it's on the head coach to really get it right. And I was just thinking about, like, you know, this is kind of partly what Bill Belichick kind of built his, you know, prestige over. He obviously is a great defensive mind, but also it's like the special teams, you know, he would have those kind of famous press conference moments of talking about the history of long snapping and things like that for a long time. And, you know, clear the special teams is kind of like a vital sign, right, for a football team going right. To me, obviously the special teams coordinator has a place, but it's the onus of the head coach to make sure it's going well. And so maybe that's the tack that Raheem Morris is taking. What I wanted to say that I wanted to convey was that Raheem Morris did say that he is working hands-on with the players. Now, you know, the exact extent of that, don't know, but it's good to hear that he is kind of – he is hands-on with the guys. But the way I envision it, Chris, is that, you know, if the head coach – or if the special teams is like this, you know, this the head coach of any football team has been coaching football for a long time and can certainly coach players up on – techniques they need to be using. If he needs to be in there during the special teams meetings, you know, helping break down the tape and identifying clearly what the issues are and making sure it's the message is translated to the players, how to address those issues, that to me is what the head coach needs to be doing. And so we'll see if there's any improvement, considering there's such a magnifying glass on it now after the mistakes have been made recently.
Curious to get your opinion on this as well. It seems like their strategy for both the defensive front and the offensive front has backfired this season in terms of going with the more lean and athletic offensive and defensive line fronts. They really miss a giant run stuffer in the middle, and they certainly miss some power on the offensive line. It looks like the Ryan Nuziel experiment has gone okay at best. Jake Matthews, I think, has been penalized heavily this season, way more so than usual, maybe because of the injury. Maybe he's lost a step. Maybe it's both. But it feels like, Joe, they tried to go with more of a sleek offensive and defensive line, and there's just too many big boys in the NFL to do that week in and week out.
Yeah, you know, and it's not like it can't work. I mean, like, we've seen this offensive line, for example, actually kind of even quote-unquote leaner, if we're talking about, like, you know, the physiques of the players when Drew Dahlman was the center here, and they were one of the best run teams in the NFL at that point in time. But it was built on a very clear identity that Arthur Smith had for this team's run game, which was to get under center and run that outside zone and then run the, you know, the play-action concepts off of it. And you had Caleb McGarry, and not having him this year is really hurting this team and being able to have, like, that bread and butter play, you know, that you just feel like you can just, you know, push that easy button and make things go and know that you're going to get yourself in a manageable down and distance on the next play. And they just haven't, it just feels like everything's been really hard to come back. Like, every yard is well earned. And I think it's because they just don't have that dominance in some areas on that offensive line like they have had in years past. And I think it's worth noting, like, Drew Dahlman having a great year with the Bears this year in a resurgent Ben Johnson offense that's very similar to what Arthur Smith runs. Yeah, I do wonder if, you know, decision makers are second guessing the decision that was made to let Drew Dahlman walk. And then you're right, on the defensive front, it does feel like they need a true nose at this point. And I understand, like, I think the defensive front has actually improved and impressed in several ways, but you're, especially against the pass, but you're right, like, against the run, they just need some more, just some more mass there in the middle. And it's not been for lack of trying. You know, they've tried to, you know, they have used and are still using LaKeia London. They've gone to Sam Roberts, who they picked up off of waivers from the Panthers. They have gotten all, you know, different guys in here, but it feels like it's time where They could use maybe a draft pick or go out and get an established veteran who can really like lock that down for you. Because you feel like if you do have that, then you do have a lot of dynamic defensive linemen around that player and linebackers. But I would say both, you know, like Caden Ellis is not even kind of a traditional off-ball linebacker. He's turned into that, and I think he's a pretty good one. But it still would, I think, benefit him and Divine Diablo a ton to have just some more mass up there on that defensive front. Again, specifically just for like first and second down, and then you can kind of get into some of your other packages. But yeah, that's just something that they felt like, you know, they had to do. And part of it, Chris, is because, you know, let's face it, like funds are not zero, or they are zero sum, and they just, you know, when you make bad investments in certain areas, that limits the amount of money that you have to go spend. And, you know, probably one of the reasons, for example, they went with Ryan Neuzel, just because they felt like he was an affordable option. He's going to allow them to go out and then sign Divine Diablo and do all some of these other things. So, you know, it may not be even the fact that they wanted to do some of these things, but it's what they were kind of forced into having to do because of, you know, the way the roster has been managed.
Before I let you go, obviously neither one of us have a crystal ball, but have you been starting to sniff around some people talking about Raheem maybe coming back next year?
Yeah, you know, I talked about this on episode of Joe Patrick on Football, which we'll probably be publishing tomorrow. I know I recorded it today, but I've like heard that talk, like, and I don't know if this is just like kind of media members talking to media and kind of like, you know, what do you think? And like story, like narratives kind of, or not narratives, but just like assumptions, I guess, will start to get made because of that. I don't think that, and it's weird that it would change like more in Raheem's favor in like the 48 hours since that debacle against Seattle. And that's why for me, it's hard to make sense of that line of thinking. You know, I think the notion is that like this team is kind of not going to be good next year, and so you might as well keep a coach like him around just to kind of suffer through that year. But I actually see it as the opposite. I see it as like you need to get, if you are kind of leaning towards making a change, whether it's now or at a year from now, whatever, like you should just get that project underway right now so you can start to build the building blocks. And maybe even if it is a down year, you can allow a new coach to get familiar with some of the players and how he wants to utilize some of these pieces. So whether there's any truth to that, I don't know. I think obviously the state, maybe what has triggered this was Raheem Morris saying that, you know, Arthur Blank has 100% confidence, or, you know, has his 100% belief in him. I forget the exact quote that was said, but we'll see. You know, I think all the speculation will obviously come into clear view here in about a month, where we'll get some real answers after the season.
Joe, appreciate it as always. We'll be checking out the pod. Talk next week.
All right. Thanks, Chris.
All right. That is Joe Patrick there. When we get back, right back to your calls. You just heard Joe's perspective. 404-726-0929. If you're on hold, you're first up. Have we overrated this roster? A lot of y'all that called in earlier in the show said, nah, Turtle, roster's good. It's all about the coaching. Do you agree with that? Or do we need to take a long and hard look at this roster? Because I was all on board until the past couple of weeks. The past couple of games have made me open up my eyes to say, wow, I think everything needs to have a microscope under it, including the roster. I'm not saying the roster is more important than coaching, because I don't believe that at all. With this team specifically, I still think it's coaching. But how do you feel? 404-726-0929. Have we overhyped this roster here in Atlanta, or do we just need a new coach? Your calls are next.